So it's like one thing making the content and people paying you for it. It's another thing getting it out there and have people seeing it. Because the bottom line is we want to make people laugh and we want to reach as many people as possible. And it's like if you make if a bear shits content in the woods and no one hears it or sees it, you know, did that shit really happen? No, right? It's like meaningless, you know? So you got to see your projects through, and you either got to promote them in some way and send out a press release, you know, whether it's the Silicon Alley Daily or the Digital Coast in LA or whatever, you know, newsletters or whatever, hyping people to come check out your work, because then they'll tell people once they see it if they like it. And it's, you know, there's a lot, you know, a lot of follow through you got to do in promoting your own work. And just because you make it doesn't mean people are going to see it, doesn't mean people are going to like it. So you want to do, you know, your best work. You know, just because you make money on it, you know, that's not the end of the story, at least for me. We've done a lot of prototypes because convergence and broadband is like a big thing, and wireless applications. So, you know, part of our business plan to raise VC is to say that we do content for wireless applications, whether it's a game that you play on your cell phone or a game that can play on a Game Boy cartridge, wherever it's delivered, you can often find ways to reuse your material in different ways. And I believe that wireless, right now, wireless applications are a big thing, but the future we're going to see more people interested in user-generated content, i.e., if you go to dfilm.com or some of the stuff we're doing, and How I Died a Flash Generator, where basically the user comes and they can pick a different way of how they want to die, or they upload a picture of their ex-boyfriend, and then they pick, okay, he died by hanging himself in the bathroom, and then they pick, like, you know, what the voices are, and they basically create their cartoon, and then they get to play and make different break beats, and then ultimately outputs an SWF file, and then they can send their cartoon to their friends, and then it goes into a digital art gallery. And it's like, you know, I think what people are going to want to be very creative in the internet in the future. And so we try to come up with more and more ideas of doing that. And Ericsson Cyber Lab was basically a wireless device. They wanted a prototype, and we get this a lot, where they can show, hey, this is how our device is going to work before they actually make it. But basically, it just shows how this device that's about the size of an Etch-a-Sketch can be used to surf the web while you're sitting in Golden Gate Park, and has a geode transmitter and all these futuristic concepts. But by building a prototype in Flash or Director, they can go ahead and show it on the web to different people, including their engineers, saying this is what we're expecting it to do. And before they actually spend the zillions of dollars that it's going to cost to actually make the thing. We found ways to position the company so that we can get a variety of work and at the same time be doing what we like to do, which is animation and coming up with really cool games, but be able to sort of, you know, position them in different ways so we can get client services work and keep growing organically. All of a sudden, interactive advertising became a way that people were interested, i.e. coming up with different ways to do animated banners. People were realizing that just doing simple GIF ad banners wasn't the necessary route to getting click-throughs. You know, click-throughs went down all the way to 2%, where someone would click on an ad banner on the top of a page and go to that site. So they started talking about impressions, but we found ways to boost the click-through from 2% all the way up to 16%, and that is by making ad banners that were games. And so, for example, we did one for SonicNet. The original version of this was called, instead of Kiss the Video Star, it was Kill the Video Star, with featuring Tupac, and you would, like, shoot him. You know, but he had just got shot, and they thought it was rude, so we redid it, you know, and made it like Gwen, and you just click here to kiss, and it brings up the lips, and then you like kiss at 1 point, kiss at 2 points, and the third kiss, it sucks you over to Streamland Video on Demand. You're like, one minute you're thinking you're playing a game, the next minute you're linking over to another site. And so they thought these were like really great, and the way we made them was with the program we've used Director to make the games, which are simple go-tos, like this game, you know, just with this face going back and forth. But it's like an ad, like an ad agency couldn't have figured it out because they don't know the capabilities of Director. And the way we made it work on the web was using Enliven, which is yet another plugin for Director that exports the file as an Enliven file, which is a streaming Java applet, which is amazing in two ways. One is that it doesn't require a plugin because it's Java. Two is that it's streaming, and so if you want to push this ad on Yahoo or whatever, and they, believe me, they all have limitations of 12K, you can go ahead and say, okay, well, 12K when it loads, and then once their page loads, it streams in more information. And so we did one for Partnership for Drug-Free America, where we synced up the text, how well do you know your child, with the video. So there's two Java applets here, and we're streaming video and text over the net.
Would you be surprised to learn that as many as one in five kids has tried an inhalant, such as glue, paint, or gasoline, by the time they reach the eighth grade? Could this be your child? Talk to yours now about the dangers of inhalants. Tell them one sniff can kill.
So the bottom line is, you know, how can we do things where we keep the main staff busy? Because the way we run the company is it's basically executive producers and producers who oversee the talent, and then we hire freelancers, i.e. programmers, you know, who are maybe a Lingo scripter or maybe a Perl programmer or, you know, someone who does, you know, back-end development will partner with a small company. You know, we can't afford to have a full-time webmaster. We don't even need a full-time webmaster. We haven't had one for the last 2 years, and we host other, you know, much larger companies than us. And we can't afford to have, you know, this animator particularly, or the other 3D animator on board full-time, and they don't want to be, you know, most of these animators prefer to work at home in their underwear, and they don't want to come in, and we find that they're cheaper to hire when they're out, the farther away they are from New York and San Francisco, the cheaper they are. So, you know, and I can work by sending email, putting the stuff up on the site, they can see what we need, and we send files back and forth, and then I pay them on contract for a specific period of time, and it basically is the only way for us to keep, you know, ourselves above water. And then, you know, the people that are full-time, you know, are full-time, and they're the ones that work on a lot of different projects. And so it's actually very similar to like a film studio, where basically it's usually a very small group of people, and then when they do a film deal, then all of a sudden they're hiring their gaffers and their cinematographers and all these other people, and then they do the job and they're very busy and they work really intense hours, and then the film's done, and then it goes back to, you know, whatever else they do to keep it going. So, and that's basically how I run the company. And so it's not a big company, 6 to 10 people on staff. We finally brought in a couple of salespeople because we weren't proactively looking for work. You know, we were just getting work, you know, because we're in New York. Like, we got a Jerry Springer job because some girl typed in, you know, who was looking for a web development shop that did interesting animation for the web, and she thought, oh, electronic and Hollywood, and boom, we came up, you know, just because of the name of the company. Or some people read about me in a magazine. I've been in a lot of press over the last 12 years. And so they hear, you know, Jamie Levy's cool, so they'll call us up to bid on their job. And, you know, or we do a job for a client, they recommend us to another client. And that can work up until a point, but at a certain, you know, if you really want to keep expanding, you have to bring in these business developers and you have to watch them and keep them busy. I had this one business developer who sat there for 6 months and played the stock market. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't know what a business developer was supposed to do. It seemed that he might have been doing stuff by email, but the bottom line is he's supposed to be on the phone, following up on all the leads. I'd go out, there's tons of parties and ways to meet people in New York, and I meet people and I get their card, but I'm terrible on the follow-up because I'm a creative. So you gotta have someone there who takes the cards from you, calls them up, says, what are you looking for? And then make sure that we get a proposal out to them. And then once they get it, say, hey, what do you think of the proposal? We would love to find a way to work with you. And really just keep banging on these people. I mean, because it's really pathetic that we let it go to the point where we only had about 2 months of pillow for our burn rate. And you know, it's hard to run a company when you're like worried about paying your own employees, especially the ones that have families. You know, but whatever, up until this point, me and my partner always said, oh, we'll take a dive off salary, you know, for a month if it ever came down to that, and we never have. So, you know, but we don't draw large salaries, so now all of a sudden there's VC, you know, venture capital running around like mad looking for companies that aren't actually going to take the money and just blow it and have absolutely no business model. We've proven that we've been self-sufficient, we have good public relations, and then we have material. And so they look at the material and they say, okay, we're going to evaluate you at blah, 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 and boom, you know, you could bring in money like that so you can actually make your content. Or you just do work. It's like you have to be, I believe, you have to be like taking a guerrilla approach at, you know, expanding your company, and you have to watch the bottom line, because the worst thing that can happen to you is to have to like close your doors and, you know, be, you know, go out and people say, so what happened to Electronic Hollywood? And you're like, oh, we tanked, you know, it's really embarrassing, I think. So I'm trying to avoid that personally.